Sing Out Magazine was founded over 60 years ago by a group of folks who loved roots music. Today it's a vital and entertaining resource for anyone who loves folk music the world over. As in the past, thousands of people turn to Sing Out to read about and learn from the artists who play the music. This is the Sing Out Radio Magazine. This is the Sing Out Radio Magazine, and I'm your host, Tom Druckenmiller. Our theme music this week comes from the CD Carry the Gift by R. Carlos Nakai and William Eaton. We heard Hunter's Twilight. Carry the Gift is on Canyon Records. November has been deemed Native American Heritage Month. We will note the occasion with a program featuring music and stories from various tribes across the U.S. and Canada. Open with the most famous Native American singer-songwriter, Buffy St. Marie, from the Plains Cree First Nation Reservation in the Canadian province of Saskatchewan. She was raised in Massachusetts in her adopted family. Now That the Buffalo's Gone is from her CD I'm Gonna Be a Country Girl Again from 1968 on Vanguard Records. Music for Native American Heritage Month on this week's edition of the Sing Out Radio Magazine.
Have held your head high and told all your friends of your Indian claim. Proud good lady and proud good man, your great great grandfather from Indian blood sprang, and you feel in your heart for these ones. Oh, it's written in books and in songs that we've been mistreated and wronged. Over and over I hear those same words from you, good lady, and you, good man. Well, listen to me if you care where we stand and you feel you're a part of these ones. When a war between nations is lost, we know pays the cost. But even when Germany fell to your hands, consider, dear lady, consider, dear man, you left them their pride and you left them their land. And what have you done to these ones? Has a change come about, Uncle Sam? Or are you still taking our land? A treaty forever George Washington signed. He did, dear lady, he did, dear man. And the treaty's being broken by Kim's old dam. And what will you do for these ones? Ah, it's all in the past, you can't say, but it's still going on here today. The government now wants the Iroquois land, that of the Chippewa and the Cheyenne.
I was holding on to my granddad's hand. He was pointing to the promised land, and it lay beyond the reservation road. He said, don't make a promise you won't keep. Don't betray the earth beneath your feet as we walked on the reservation road. And just for that one moment, we were racing with the wind. And the sound of horses thundering, there echoed once again back to the place where our hearts and souls belong. A thousand dreams away from a reservation road. I'm a 1,000 dreams away from a reservation road. Spirit soared into the sky, beyond the places where the eagles fly. My tears fell along the reservation road. Now 100 moons, they have come and gone, and I'm holding on to a newborn son. One day we're gonna walk the reservation road. And just for that one moment, we'll be racing with the wind. And the sound of horses thundering, they're gonna echo once again. Back to the place where our hearts and souls belong. I'm 1,000 dreams away from a reservation road. 1,000 dreams away from a reservation road. Holding on to my granddad's hand, he was pointing to the promised land and lay beyond the reservation road. It was way beyond the reservation road. I walked way beyond the reservation road. Have you ever walked on a reservation road? Let me take you down the reservation road. I wish our senators would take a walk down the reservation road. The reservation road. The reservation road. Have you ever walked on the reservation road?
Bill Miller recorded live at Godfrey Daniels in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania on the 9th of September 1991 in Reservation Road. That's from his recording of the same name. It's on Rosebud Records. We are celebrating Native American Heritage Month this week on the Sing Out Radio magazine. And in the last few years, Rita Coolidge has embraced her Native American roots, and she has been singing with a group called Walela, which also includes her sister Priscilla, and also Laura Satterfield. We heard the Apache Honoring Song from Walela, and that's from a great collection on Earthbeat Records called Tribal Voices, Songs from Native Americans. And we let off that set with Buffy St. Marie from her recording, I'm Gonna Be a Country Girl Again, and Now That the Buffalo's Gone, from 1968 on Vanguard Records. You are listening to the Sing Out Radio magazine, and one of my very favorite stories comes from a Mohawk storyteller named Murray Porter, and he has a wonderful story called Dog Lover. This is from a recording called Legends, I Am an Eagle. Here's Dog Lover from Murray Porter on the Sing Out Radio magazine.
There was a Seneca man who is what we would call today a dog lover. It is not that the other Seneca hated dogs, but in those days, dogs were mostly kept for hunting or to guard and warn the people of impending danger. They were working animals and treated as such. The Seneca man we are talking about had three dogs. All had names and were well fed and cared for. All three of his dogs were allowed to sleep in his lodge, and one in particular, Beaded Eyes, slept right with the warrior, mostly right on him. He loved his dogs. To describe Beaded Eyes is not at all difficult. He was quite small, mostly white in color, and had been given his name because of the two black markings around his eyes. He looked as though he was wearing a mask. Of all the dogs, Beaded Eyes was definitely the young warrior's favorite. The other two dogs, both males, were called respectively Ugly and Big Skunk. Ugly had a huge head and scruffy, shaggy fur. He was not a good-looking dog by any stretch of the imagination. Big Skunk was a big black and white dog that looked like a big skunk. Luckily for the warrior, he usually did not smell like one. The only problem the warrior had with his dogs was with Beaded Eyes, who had a lover called Lucky. Beaded Eyes would visit her, if you know what I mean by visit, as often as she would allow. The man that owned Lucky would complain about the visits. He was always throwing buckets of water over the amorous pair. One day, the young warrior was out hunting, and of course, he had his canine friends along with him. The dogs ran hither and yon, sniffing at every scent they found, however old or new, with tails wagging in exuberance at the very thought of the chase to come. Beaded Eyes suddenly stopped dead in his tracks. He sniffed the air, raised his head, and sniffed again. Something was wrong. The warrior also halted, knowing that Beaded Eyes had caught the scent of something dangerous. Big Skunk lifted his head, also sniffing the air, and Ugly let out a whimper. An eerie quiet settled over the forest. Even the birds fell silent. Something was very wrong. All three dogs walked slowly, stiff-legged towards their master. Not one of them was wagging its tail. In fact, their tails hung down between their legs, but the hair on the napes of their necks stood straight up. The three dogs stood by their master, all looking off into the bush at the unseen enemy. Beaded Eyes nuzzled the warrior's hand in an anxious manner, then returned his gaze to the same area of the bush as before. The young warrior studied this section of forest carefully, while placing an arrow into his bowstring. Nothing stirred, nothing unusual could be seen with the naked eye, but he too felt the presence of something very sinister. Suddenly, a loud roar startled the dogs and the hunter back to reality. From the area the dogs had scrutinized, charged a huge monster. It was probably a Sasquatch, but as the young warrior had never seen one, he could not tell if it was or not. All he knew was that it terrified him. The monster made a beeline towards the warrior. The warrior let loose an arrow that flew true to the mark and hit the beast. But it didn't even slow the large, lumbering hulk down. All three brave dogs ran towards the creature, barking and growling. They meant to do battle with the beast. Ugly was the first to reach the oncoming monster. He skidded to a halt, hackles bristling and fangs bared. The monster stopped momentarily, taking one swipe at the dog and removing Ugly's head in the process. On seeing the power of the dreadful beast, the warrior called his remaining two dogs back to his side. They ran toward him, but so did the monster. The warrior turned tail, and as fast as his legs would carry him, he ran towards the safety of his village. All seemed to be going along well and his retreat successful. He seemed to easily outrun the plotting monster. Then, unexpectedly, he tripped over a root and fell heavily onto some rocks, knocking the wind from his body. The dogs stopped and stood close at his side, wagging their tails but looking apprehensively back toward where the loud crashing and crunching sounds could be heard as the monster smashed his way through the forest. The dogs seemed to understand that their master was in trouble. He tried to get up, but could put no pressure on one of his legs. The leg was broken, and he immediately fell again. Both dogs set off towards the oncoming giant, seemingly understanding the warrior's predicament. Both were determined to save their master's life. Big Skunk was the first to reach the beast. He circled it, snarling, fangs exposed. The Sasquatch halted, swinging its huge arms at the snapping dog. Big Skunk had learned from seeing his companion Ugly killed to stay out of reach, to stay at arm's length. The monster with surprising speed lunged forward, grabbing at the dog. Big Skunk was snatched from the ground and flung through the air. His neck snapped. He was dead before his body hit the ground. Brave little Beaded Eyes knew that if his master's life was to be spared, he would have to somehow stop this terrible ogre from getting to him. His plan of action firmly in mind, Beaded Eyes ran at the monster and jumped as high as his legs would propel him. He caught the creature by the throat and tore at it. The monster let out a howl of rage, then another of pain as he ripped at the small dog that was now hanging from his throat. But Beaded Eyes would not release the monster from his grip and tightened his jaws even tighter. The creature yanked the little dog away from its throat, at the same time tearing its own flesh. The monster screamed with pain. Using both of his hands, he tore the tiny dog to pieces. With a primal roar, he limped away towards the land he had come from, defeated and badly mutilated by the brave Beaded Eyes. The young warrior crawled, pulling himself through the undergrowth towards his village. He was glad to be alive, but realized that his life had been saved by his three good companions. He finally dragged himself close enough to his encampment to call for help. The people came running to his aid, and he was soon resting comfortably in his own lodge. While his leg was being set by the medicine man, he sat recounting his horrific tale. After the story was finished, some of the warriors were so impressed with the bravery of the three dogs, they said they would go and bring the remains of the fearless dogs back to the village for a proper burial. It would not be fitting to leave the bodies of such courageous creatures out in the bush, said one. The next morning, as the sun came up, the broken bodies of the three dogs were blessed and a prayer was said to help guide their spirits into the next world. Then, the remains were laid to rest. After the ceremony, the young warrior thanked everyone for their help, kindness, and understanding. He was then left alone for a time to reflect and remember the brave deeds that were done on the fateful day that the monster came to the land of the Seneca. A short time later, when his leg was well on the mend, a neighbor came to visit the young warrior. "I thought you might like this," said the visitor, as he opened his jacket and pulled from under it a small furry object. He then placed it on the floor of the lodge. It was a puppy. "My dog Lucky had him a short time ago." "I know for sure your dog was the father," smiled the visitor. The little white ball of fluff waddled over to where the young warrior sat. It sniffed around, then settled down on top of one of the young warrior's feet, looking happily up at him, wagging what was a poor excuse for a tail. Around the pup's eyes were two strange black markings. The young warrior was delighted. Beaded Eyes had returned.
Following that struggling Cedric taxicab, sliding over the seeming infinity of white light and neon. With no warning, mind's eye winks like a lifespan and opens again on memory flash of prairie Indian dancers. They're on a stage, all jigging motion and flare of bright feathers, surrounded by white faces floating on a sea of mud. Hoop dancer struts in front, drum and voices blend with endless rain. There's a timeline. Something like vertical, like perpendicular, cutting through figures shuffling on horizontal plane, cutting through the survival pride of the dancers, through the guilty sentimental warmth of the crowd, through to some essence common to us, to original man, to perhaps descendants, numberless or few. Where it intersects the space at hand, the shaman with the hoop stands aligned like living magnetic needle between deep past and looming future. Butterfly pierced on each drum beat, wing beat, thunderclap, storm front, static spark, energy circle delineated by leaping limbs. First man, last man, dancing man, man. Flame above crazy coyote heartbeat drum. I see sunrise on the plains, big river at dusk, perpetual pillar of dust on prairie rim, and always overhead those wings circling, turning. now transparent feet touch down on anaconda streets, and on the next leap dissolve slowly into the moving lights. Rainbow steps, jerking universe. Goodbye, man in time. And just beyond the clatter and cars, the last long notes of wild voices ring like Roland's horn.
This is The Sing Out Radio Magazine. If you want more information about the magazine, it's easy. Just call 1-888-SING-OUT or check us out on the web at singout.org. You can also listen to the show as a podcast. This is episode 1746. And remember, we're also on iTunes. Thank you. This is The Sing Out Radio Magazine, and I'm your host, Tom Druckenmiller. We're celebrating Native American Heritage Month this week, and our theme comes from the CD Carry the Gift from R. Carlos Nakai and William Eaton. And we just heard a beautiful song called Remember When There Was Water. That's on Canyon Records. And before that, we heard from Bruce Coburn from his recording The Trouble with Normal and a song all about a hoop dancer. That's on Columbia Records. And we let off that set with Murray Porter and his wonderful story, Dog Lover, from the recording Legends, a mix of contemporary and traditional Native music and legends told by Native storytellers. I Am an Eagle is the name of the recording. That's on Curb Records. Murray Porter is a Mohawk. We're going to lead off this next set with Joanne Shenandoah, who's an Iroquois. And she's gathered a bunch of Iroquois traditional songs on her recording Lifeblood. Here's a song called The Circle of Friendship. Here's Joanne Shenandoah on the Sing Out Radio Magazine.
As a child, as you're growing up, you leave your community without knowing where you're going to go, because you don't know. You had no control of all that time. And when they send you off and you learn about the outside world from a different family, and you come back to your people again, and you don't know nothing. So you have to seek information all the time, and you say, go back. Go back to your roots, to your great-grandfather.
I dearly love fiddle music. And that was from Wood That Sings, Indian Fiddle Music of the Americas, from a fiddler named Jimmy LaRock, who comes from the Turtle Mountain Chippewa tribe from North Dakota. And we heard Road to Barash from Jimmy LaRock. That's on Smithsonian Folkways Records. And before that, from Jerry Alfred and the Medicine Beat. Jerry is the songkeeper of the Northern Chichone Nation up in the Yukon in Canada. And we heard a song called Nenda, Go Back. He works at bringing old songs to the young, folks who aren't interested in playing the old music. That's from a great collection called Putumayo Presents Native America on Putumayo Records. And we let off that set with Joanne Shenandoah and Circle of Friendship from her recording Lifeblood, and that's on Silver Wave Records. In the early 1960s, Johnny Cash recognized the plight of the Native American. He recorded an album called Bitter Tears. Here's Johnny Cash and The Ballad of Ira Hayes, written by Peter LaFarge, on the Sing Out Radio Magazine.
Ira Hayes, Ira Hayes, call him drunken Ira Hayes, he won't answer anymore. Not the whiskey drinking Indian nor the Marine that went to war. Gather round me, people, there's a story I would tell about a brave young Indian you should remember well. From the land of the Pima Indian, a proud and noble band who farmed the Phoenix Valley in Arizona land. Down their ditches a thousand years, the waters grew Ira's people's crops, till the white man stole their water rights and the sparkling water stopped. Now Ira's folks were hungry, and their land grew crops of weeds. When war came, Ira volunteered and forgot the white man's greed. Call him drunken Ira Hayes, he won't answer anymore. Not the whiskey-drinking Indian nor the Marine that went to war. There they battled up Iwo Jima Hill, 250 men, but only 27 lived to walk back down again. And when the fight was over and Old Glory raised, among the men who held it high was the Indian Ira Hayes. Call him drunken Ira Hayes, he won't answer anymore. Not the whiskey-drinking Indian nor the Marine that went to war. Ira Hayes returned the hero, celebrated through the land. He was wined and speeched and honored. Everybody shook his hand. But he was just a Pima Indian. No water, no home, no chance. At home, nobody cared what Ira had done. And when did the Indians dance? Call him drunken Ira Hayes, he won't answer anymore. Not the whiskey-drinking Indian nor the Marine that went to war. Then Ira started drinking hard. Jail was often his home. They let him raise the flag and lower it like you'd throw a dog a bone. He died drunk early one morning, alone in the land he fought to save. 2 inches of water in a lonely ditch was a grave for Ira Hayes. Call him drunken Ira Hayes, he won't answer anymore. Not the whiskey-drinking Indian nor the Marine that went to war. Yeah, call him drunken Ira Hayes, but his land is just as dry, and his ghost is lying thirsty in the ditch where Ira died.
That was Verdell Primo, who's an Ogallala Sioux, and Johnny Mike, who's a Diné. From their recording Walk in Beauty, we heard a Sioux version of Amazing Grace. That's on Canyon Records. And before that, we heard Johnny Cash from Ballads of the American Indian and Peter Lafarge's classic The Ballad of Ira Hayes. That's on Columbia Records from Johnny Cash. Hope you've enjoyed our program for Native American Heritage Month. Next week, we'll do something completely different and have our travel and food edition of the Sing Out Radio Magazine. You've been listening to the Sing Out Radio Magazine. I've been your host, Tom Druckenmiller. If you've enjoyed the program, you can get more information about the magazine by calling 1-888-SING-OUT or by checking us out on the web at singout.org. The Sing Out Radio Magazine is produced at the Little Cat Records Studios. Join me next time for another trip into the fascinating world of folk and roots music on the Sing Out Radio Magazine. This is episode 1746.
If I had a hammer, I'd hammer in the morning. I'd hammer in the evening all over this land. I'd hammer out danger, I'd hammer out a warning. I'd hammer out love between my brothers and my sisters all over this land. If I had a bell, I'd ring it in the morning. I'd ring it in the evening all over this land. I'd ring out danger, I'd ring out a warning. I'd ring out love between my brothers and my sisters all over this land. If I had a song, if I had a song, I'd sing it in the morning. I'd sing it in the evening all over this land. I'd sing out danger, I'd sing out a warning. I'd sing out love between my brothers and my sisters all over this land. Well, I got a hammer and I got a bell. I got a song to sing all over this land. It's the hammer of justice, it's the bell of freedom. It's the song about love between my brothers and my sisters. Oh,